evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program very much from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, September 4th, 2020. The SPLM North faction of Abdelaziz Al-Hilo signs a joint agreement with Sudan government.
It is considered to be a great step forward because peace effort is one of the top priority of the Sudan transitional government.
And the chief of the United Nations mission in South Sudan says violence in central Equatorial State is getting out of hand.
This week we responded by deploying troops to that area and are setting up a temporary operating base in Lobanok or near Lobanok so that we can do regular patrols and try and prevent further attacks and hopefully calm the situation down.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The Sudanese transitional government and the SPLM North faction led by Abdelaziz Al-Hilo signed a declaration of principles in the Ethiopian capital Thursday. The two sides affirm that Sudan is a melting pot made up of different race, ethnicity, religion and culture. The two leaders committed to recognize and put up with the country's diversity. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Sudanese Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok and the SPLM North faction leader General Abdulaziz Adam Al-Hilo signed an agreement that states the government will separate state and religion. The agreement says, quote, Sudan is a multiracial, multiethnic, multireligious and multicultural society. Full recognition and accommodation of this diversity must be affirmed, end quote. The two sides also agreed to establish informal negotiation workshops to resolve contentious issues such as the relationship between religion and the state and the right for self-determination. Hamdok and Al-Hilo say they believe it is necessary to reach a comprehensive and just political solution to all of Sudan's conflicts and one that addresses the root causes of crisis which guarantees equal citizenship for all Sudanese. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus in Khartoum, Muhammad Hassan Al-Taishi, a member of the Sudan Sovereign Council, said Prime Minister Hamdok's decision to sign the declaration is backed by the Sudanese transitional government. Taishi says a detailed official statement will come later.
There is a joint statement as well to explain what being signed between two of them that's been happened as well, so I could confirm that.
Muhammad Ali Fazari, the editor-in-chief of the online English newspaper Khartoum Today, says the agreement is an important step towards achieving lasting peace in the country.
It is considered to be a great step forward because peace effort is one of the top priority of the Sudan transitional government, and it was one of the most important issues that based on the transitional task of this government. So what has happened in Addis Ababa last night, it's going to be one of the most important success of Prime Minister Abdalla Hamdok.
But Fazari says some pro-Islamic political parties will likely criticize the transitional government for agreeing to discuss the relationship between religion and the state, as well as the right to self-determination for the South Kordofan and the Blue Nile.
This is a very controversial point within six principle of declaration. I think this point is going to complicate the situation between the Islamists, which will refuse this, and also other parties in freedom and force government.
The government and the coalition of armed groups known as Sudan Revolutionary Front signed an agreement in Juba on Monday to end the conflicts in the Darfur and the Blue Nile regions. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
South Sudan mediators in peace talks between Sudan's transitional government and various rebel groups say they are working to engage holdout groups that did not initial the recent peace agreement signed earlier this week. Secretary General of the Mediation Committee says mediators are working on bringing back the two opposition factions that did not sign the peace deal to the negotiation table. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
The Nuba Mountain-based SPLM North faction led by Abdelaziz Adam Al-Hilu and the Darfur-based Sudan Liberation Movement faction led by Abdul Wahid Al-Nur did not initial the peace deal signed by other armed groups in Juba on Monday. Juma Thok, Secretary General of the Mediation Committee, says the mediators are working hard to ensure that two groups rejoin the peace talks. Mathok says the parties have indicated their commitment to continue negotiating to reach a comprehensive peace agreement in Sudan.
We are trying very much to bring the parties, especially the leaders, to be around in Juba so that the consultation is made possible, so that whenever we want to talk to the leaders, we access them.
But Mathok says the mediators cannot do much if the Sudanese opposition parties lack political will to resolve their conflict. He stressed that peace is crucial to the Sudanese people, especially those in the Darfur, South Kordofan, and the Blue Nile regions. He says, given that most of the Sudanese armed groups initialed the agreement, the party should now talk about how to implement it.
We are now preparing implementation meeting. We started 2 days ago. Today we are done with the implementation matrix of the security arrangement in Darfur, and we are going to finish within 2 days, and we are moving well.
The SPLM North Abdelaziz Adam Al-Hilu faction pulled out of the talks in late August, saying they want Deputy Head of the Sudanese Sovereign Council, General Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, commonly known as Himiti, to leave the peace process. The group asked mediators to expel Dagalo as chief negotiator for the government, saying Dagalo's forces committed crimes against civilians all over Sudan and therefore is not fit to negotiate peace in the Sudan. Kuku Muhammad Jagdul, spokesman of the SPLM North Abdelaziz Adam Al-Hilu faction, says his group did not sign the peace deal because the group's concern with the Sudanese government agreed to in the declaration of the principles were not discussed in the talk.
We believe actually our demands or our agendas have not been discussed because we have our agendas included in declaration of principles. All parties agreed to that. Sudan governments agreed to the declaration of principles. And then we agreed to base our negotiation on the principles. Yeah, that's the. No, we want peace, and the evidence is that our delegation has been in Juba for a year now.
Jagdul says the agreement announced on Monday does not address the root causes of the Sudan's conflict, adding that secularism remains the guarantee that will eliminate political Islam. Jagdul says his group is ready to resume negotiation at any time if the mediators invite them back to the table. About a year ago, the head of Sudan's transitional government, Abdul Fattah al-Burhan, agreed to engage in peace talks with Sudanese rebel groups aimed at ending the country's conflict. Since then, South Sudan President Salva Kiir has been hosting the Sudan peace talks in Juba. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
The chief of the United Nations mission in South Sudan is asking South Sudan's transitional government of national unity and rebels of the National Salvation Front to respect the Rome Declaration signed earlier this year. David Scherer says his office is setting up a base in Lobonok village to protect civilians from attacks. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Special Representative of the UN Secretary General David Sierra says clashes in central Equatoria between government forces and National Salvation Front rebels are putting civilians' lives at risk and calls the surge in violence occurring in trading centers and villages disturbing.
This week we responded by deploying troops to that area and are setting up a temporary operating base in Lobonok or near Lobonok so that we can do regular patrols and try and prevent further attacks and hopefully calm the situation down.
The decision to construct a temporary peacekeeping base in Lobonok comes on the heels of the shooting deaths of 6 bodyguards of Vice President James Wanyika. NAS claimed responsibility for that attack. Sierra also expressed concern about recent attacks on humanitarian convoys and public transport vehicles, including Tuesday's attack on the Yei-Lasu road that left two civilians dead and four others injured. Sierra says armed men have also looted or touched trucks during these assaults.
What we don't want to see is a return to what we did see in 2016, 2017, 2018, when from that area nearly a million people fled into South Sudan. So it's time to stop it now, not to let it go on, and that's why we're prioritizing that right at the moment.
UNMISS says the recent uptick in violence is as a result of actions of both NAS and government forces. NAS refused to sign the revitalized peace agreement in 2018 aimed at ending the conflict in South Sudan that left nearly 400,000 people dead. The rebel group says the deal did not address the root causes of the 5.5-year conflict. At talks mediated in Rome this past January, government and holdout rebel groups, including NAS, agreed to cease hostilities and allow aid to freely reach people in need of life-saving assistance in a deal called the Rome Declaration. That declaration has repeatedly been violated by government forces and the rebel groups. The number of violent attacks increased in central Equatoria, and NAS instructed its troops to be on maximum readiness and warned civilians to avoid major roads where clashes with the government troops were likely. Major General Lul Roy Kwang, spokesperson of the South Sudan People's Defense Force, denies government forces are responsible for recent deadly attacks in central Equatoria.
The road ambush that resulted in the killing of six bodyguards of vice president, wounding of another, and capturing of a second serviceman. Citizen went on the ground and clearly blamed NAS for a violation. The same thing, the attack on convoy, it was also carried out by NAS. The attack on civilians between Yei and Ombasi, it was also done by NAS. So these three consecutive attacks on different targets were clearly carried out by NAS.
Samuel Suba, spokesperson of the National Salvation Front, denies his group is responsible for the recent attacks in Lobonok and Yei and accuses the government of attacking NAS positions since March in violation of the Rome Declaration.
We wish this would have deployed these forces, these were bases of theirs in Lobonok, in Lanya, in Mukaya, in wherever they are doing violations, so that they see exactly what is going on. But this aspect of responding to situations, that when everything has gone out of hand, they should have a warning mechanism of seeing what is happening.
Sierra says both sides need to honor the Rome Declaration.
All of these parties, I should emphasize, have all agreed to the cessation of hostilities that was signed nearly 3 years ago and the Rome Declaration of last year. They should live up to that commitment, stop fighting, protect communities instead of causing harm.
Sierra says he fears the growing violence across parts of the country could negatively affect implementation of the revitalized peace agreement. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, how are refugees caught up in conflict and COVID-19 surviving in Africa? That story is coming up right after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. Question today.
If you could swap lives for a day, who would you swap with and why?
I'll swap with our finance minister because I think he's doing a yeoman job and I want to have a feel of what he goes through in a day.
I'll change with my dad because I love him so much. He has been there for us. I mean, like, he has taken us in good schools. He has taken care of us because for us, our mom is not working. We depend on our dad.
If I was to swap with someone, I feel I admire myself more than anyone in this life, and I feel I'm capable of doing what those people are doing, so I would not swap for any person.
I would like to change position with the president because I feel it would be nice to give instruction to everyone.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The UN Refugee Agency expresses alarm at the resurgence in ethnic violence in the DR Congo's Kasai region after a period of relative calm. The UNHCR reports more than 24,000 people have fled conflicts over land dispute and human rights atrocities in the past month. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
More than 24,000 people in the Kasai region have fled violent attacks and gross human rights atrocities in the past month. The UN Refugee Agency says people have continued to flee even after a period of uneasy calm. The UNHCR says conflicts related to land disputes and resources, as well as confrontations among different ethnic groups, authorities, and militias, have triggered this recent displacement. The agency is calling for a renewed focus on peace and a lessening of tensions. UNHCR spokesman Baba Baloch tells VOA, efforts to maintain peace need to be redoubled to prevent this explosive situation from getting completely out of hand.
The situation has been fragile, tensions were there, but this is kind of a new spark which could bring in another massive displacement in a country that has already seen millions of people being displaced in the other parts of the country, but also in the Kasai regions as well.
In 2017, violence in the Kasai region displaced 1.4 million people within the Democratic Republic of Congo and prompted some 35,000 refugees to flee to neighboring Angola in search of safety. Ballard says the majority of those fleeing the current wave of violence are seeking refuge on the provincial border areas of Demba region in Kasai Central and Mweka region in the Kasai.
The newly displaced report killings, rape, torture, looting, and burning of the homes in the recent weeks. Dozens of people have arrived with injuries. There are many children, women, and elderly among the newly displaced.
Spokesman Balaj says UNHCR staff on the ground are helping the survivors of sexual violence and referring them for medical care and psychosocial support. He says the agency is distributing relief items, including plastic sheeting, blankets, soap, and cooking kits to more than 4,000 people. He says thousands of displaced also have received shelter kits and cash to buy food and meet other urgent needs. However, he notes much more aid is needed, which his agency is unable to provide because of a lack of money. He says he hopes the international community will support the UNHCR's humanitarian operation so it can respond to the essential needs of displaced Congolese in the region. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Ethiopian officials have spoken out angrily after the U.S. announced this week it would cut millions in aid over the country's decision to begin filling a massive hydropower dam on the Nile River, which Egypt has opposed. For VOA News, Simon Max reports from Addis Ababa.
The U.S. State Department on Wednesday announced it would place a temporary pause on tens of millions of dollars in foreign assistance to Ethiopia in response to authorities there filling a reservoir at the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. Egypt, Ethiopia and Sudan have been locked in a bitter dispute over the GERD and the waters of the Nile for nearly a decade. The U.S. entered the fray last year and attempted to broker an agreement, only for Ethiopia to step away from those talks due to suspicions over a bias in Washington towards Egypt. Eyob Tekelin, Ethiopia's state finance minister, told VOA that the government has requested the U.S. provide a full explanation for the aid cut. He also said he believed the situation can be resolved quickly.
We don't think the U.S. has thought this through carefully because the partnership between the U.S. and Ethiopia is solid, very strong, and continues to be. So we consider this some misunderstanding. We don't think this will last. We are very hopeful that they will reconsider because Ethiopia is doing what is absolutely right in all sense of the word, legally, morally as well.
In Washington, talks over whether to cut aid to Ethiopia have been going on for weeks. While some State Department officials oppose the move due to the possible diplomatic fallout, others close to the White House and President Donald Trump pushed to make an example of Ethiopia for starting to fill the reservoir without first getting an agreement with Egypt and Sudan. A State Department official told VOA in a statement that the decision to pause assistance for Ethiopia reflects concerns about Ethiopia's unilateral decision to fill the dam before an agreement and all necessary dam safety measures were in place. The official also stipulated the decision was based on guidance from the president and that cuts would not be made to programs tackling HIV/AIDS, conflict, drought, displacement, and other humanitarian challenges. The cuts will impact programs linked to regional security and could amount to roughly $100 million. Rashid Abdi, a senior analyst on Horn of Africa politics, told VOA that the aid suspension may also be tied to Ethiopia's recent crackdown on opposition leaders and supporters following protests that erupted after the death of the popular Oromo singer Hachilu Hundessa.
There is a growing, I think, discontent with Abiy's leadership style, but also the country's authoritarian drift. So this could be a signal to put basically Abiy on notice and to tell him that, look, our strategic relationship could be damaged if you continue down this path.
The next round of discussions between Egypt, Ethiopia and Sudan is scheduled for September 14. Simon Marks for VOA News, Addis Ababa.
A Nigerian biotechnologist says he has an herbal treatment for COVID-19 that is more potent than a popular but unproven tonic made in Madagascar. However, medical authorities caution that plant-based medicine must be tested before use or else they can do more harm than good. Ifeok Itang reports from Jos, Nigeria.
Doctors in Madagascar have touted a herbal drink from the Artemisia plant, an anti-malarial treatment to cure the coronavirus, despite having no scientific proof. The plant, also known as sweet wormwood, contains artemisinin, which has been used in Chinese traditional medicine for centuries to treat fevers. Hope in the plant-based treatment led countries from Tanzania to Liberia to import the brew and develop their own. Innocent Ogbonna, a professor of biotechnology at the University of Jos, says he has created more potent herbal treatments from the plant.
Now, the Artemisia annua in Madagascar has an artemisinin content of 1.1%. Ours has 4.8%. You can see the difference.
As with Madagascar's, Ogbonna's team of researchers claim their herbal cocktails, which are in the form of syrups and teas, have helped coronavirus patients to recover. But an infectious disease physician at the Jos University Teaching Hospital, Dr. Nathan Shehu, cautions that testing is needed before using herbs to treat COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus.
It is a fact that herbal remedies are available and could be effective in the management of COVID,
But it is important that before they are deployed for such purposes, they should undergo the elaborate trials to validate whether they are functional or not. Because this is, you are dealing with human lives.
The World Health Organization says 80% of Africans regularly use herbal medicine. But the WHO warns that using unproven remedies can cause more harm than good. Dr. Samuel Gomareb, an infectious disease specialist at a Justician Hospital, emphasizes there is no effective herbal treatment for the virus, let alone a cure.
For now, there is no cure for COVID-19. But in terms of management of patients that are infected with COVID-19, most especially those that have severe symptoms, we understand the disease better than where we started, and then we can better, you know, handle those diseases now.
Until a proven vaccine is found, the Nigerian Center for Disease Control says the best form of prevention is to maintain social distancing, wear a mask, and wash one's hands regularly. Ifeoke Etang, for VOA News, Jos, Nigeria.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. Sudan's transitional government and the SPLM North faction led by Abdelaziz Adam El-Hilu signed a declaration of principles in the Ethiopian capital on Thursday. The leaders of both sides affirmed that Sudan is a country of different races, religion, and culture, and agreed to recognize the separation of state and religion. The agreement states Sudan is a multiracial, multiethnic, multireligious, and multicultural society. Full recognition and accommodation of these diversities must be affirmed. Sudanese Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok and the SPLM North faction leader General Abdelaziz Adam El-Hilu also agreed to establish informal negotiation workshops to resolve contentious issues such as the relationship between religion and state and the right to self-determination. And finally, UNMISS boss David Shearer says he's concerned about an uptick in violence in central Equatoria state. Shearer is calling on the government and the NAS to respect the Rome Declaration the party signed last January. Shearer says clashes in central Equatoria between government forces and NAS rebels endanger civilians' lives. He said UNMISS responded by deploying troops to the area and is setting up a temporary base in Lobunuk to conduct regular patrols to hopefully prevent further attacks from happening in the area. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Friday. We'll now leave you in your dancing mood with the song Roda by Eddie Kenzo and Awilo Longomba.
Shake it up, shake it up, shake it up.
We've been listening to Eddie Kenzo and Awilo Longomba with the song Roda. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for taking your time to listen to this program. Remember to wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Oh,